The Pittsburgh Steelers do need leaders and veterans to build their core around and to keep around for future years so that they can keep making steps forward. They also need guys that they know that they can trust to help them push their way down these final three games to make it to the playoffs. Two guys in particular who aren't locked into future contracts right now are Minkah Fitzpatrick and Terrell Edmonds. I'm going to talk about the importance of not just keeping Fitzpatrick, but both Fitzpatrick and Edmonds for the long term and how they can do it, make it affordable, and still build around this defense and make this team more whole in the coming years. But I'm also going to talk about how this team can make the playoffs. They have some specific scenarios that will make it a little bit easier to identify, hey, which teams you should be rooting for, Steeler Nation, in the final weeks of the season to help the Steelers make the playoffs. We'll be looking at all those and more right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Hit the like button if you're watching this on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button to our channel to get our daily videos Monday through Friday. And of course, if you give us a five-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts, you get a special shout out at the end of the show. So let's talk at first about my point about the safeties here, because I think a lot of people would agree the Steelers need to keep Minkah Fitzpatrick. He needs to get paid. His contract year's coming up. They need to be able to pay him the big money. They're going to be able to. They have about approximately $45-ish million in cap space next year. He'll be able to be part of that plan to keep him around and make him happy. But I do also think it's important to keep Terrell Edmonds as well. And a big part of this isn't just the fact that he's just as him as an individual, it's his chemistry with Minkah Fitzpatrick. I also think that Terrell Edmonds gets a raw deal from most of the people who try to talk about the Steelers when they're trying to say, oh, he doesn't do enough, or he didn't do this, or he's not worth the first round pick that he was given. Terrell Edmonds actually erases a lot for the Steelers. He's not the X-factor playmaker. He's not the turnover creator. But he is a guy that you line him up with a quicker running back, he'll run with him. You line him up with a tight end, he'll bang with him. He'll jump with him. He'll make that a tough catch, a contested catch, and force the quarterback to put it in the perfect spot. You line him up with a wide receiver, he'll run with him step by step. If they're shifty, he'll keep up with them. If they're rangy, if they're speedy, they can go downfield. He'll also keep up with them. And again, he has the size to jump with the taller ones. I look at Terrell Edmonds as an asset to this team. And also, so does Minkah Fitzpatrick. He spoke to Steelers media on Zoom on Monday, talking about how him and Terrell Edmonds, they're a 1-2 punch, and talking about their chemistry and how they often just need to kind of look at each other and they understand what they need to do. You need that chemistry in the back end of your defense. You saw that chemistry truly come alive in their win over the Tennessee Titans, because that game got really tight down in the end. That Ryan Tannehill wanted to hit some of those deep balls, and you saw Terrell Edmonds, Minkah Fitzpatrick cutting those plays off, communicating well, and doing the things that you need to do on the back end. Now, some people might say, well, Chris, this team also needs to invest in their offensive line. I agree. This team needs to invest in their defensive line. I agree again. They need to find a quarterback. Yes, I know. But if you lock these two guys down, you're going to get two guys that you know you can count on and at reasonable prices. Now, what's a reasonable price? We're going to go into that real quick here. Now, if you look at overthecap.com with how they've listed out safeties and how they're getting paid by, average by year. If you're looking at the upper tier, the top five guys. Now, Jamal Adams got a ridiculous contract. He's got like $17.5 million a year on an average. That's out of the question. Harrison Smith is on the back end of his last big deal. He's got $16 million. But the range is right around the $15 million range. Justin Simmons for the Broncos, he makes $15.25 a year. Buda Baker for the Cardinals, $14.75. Eddie Jackson for the Bears, $14.6. Kevin Byard, $14.1. Tyrann Mathieu, $14 million. Those are the numbers that you're looking at when you're saying, okay, we need to see where Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to fall in that range. I truly see Minkah Fitzpatrick fitting right in that $15 million range, maybe $16 million a year, but that $15 million a year range, he's earned that. He's a first-team All-Pro safety, in back-to-back years. Probably won't be this year because he doesn't have the numbers, but he's still extremely valuable. You see him making all those tackles, saving the Steelers' defense when the run defense isn't there. The question then comes, what would Terrell Edmonds take to stay here? And I don't think it would be anything unreasonable. Terrell Edmonds isn't the playmaker that Minkah is. He's not a pro bowler. He's not a guy that creates interceptions. So the asking price for him might not be that much. What's a good comparison? Well, actually, I think you look to a divisional foe for a similar comparison, and you look at the contract to Von Bell. Right now, he's making approximately $6 million a year. I think that's the right kind of price for Terrell Edmonds, a veteran safety, to stick with you long-term and to keep working with you. And then on top of that, that's the same money that they paid to Mike Hilton, around $6 million a year. That's what you want to be looking at and saying, hey, you know what? As a veteran, we're keeping you here for another 3-4 years or however long it is, and you'll be making this amount of money. It's good money. You'll be in a system that likes you. You'll be with teammates that like you, and you'll be with teammates that you like. There's a whole bunch of positives that can be for both sides to make that deal work. And let me explain the importance of this also, like just longevity and age-wise. You look at the Steelers and where they are right now. Minkah Fitzpatrick is 25 years old this year. Terrell Edmonds is 24 years old. You're talking about for the next 5 to 6 years, these guys will be in the prime of their football careers as far as age and how that lines up with them playing in the NFL. And you'll get to have both of them if you can lock them up for really good deals through the majority of that. And again, you're not paying crazy money for Terrell Edmonds. Now, some people might say, well, why can't they just go get another Terrell Edmonds? Why can't they just go draft one and then it'll just work out? Well, here's the thing. Terrell Edmonds is a sure thing right now. You know he's in your locker room. You know he vibes with your locker room. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick talks about his energy and what he brings to the table. You know he can cover different positions. You know he does that job well. If you start taking guessing games, if you let him walk and you start taking guessing games, then you're running the risk of having to, one, invest new draft capital, invest new free agent capital in a player that you're not sure of. When instead you could say, hey, you know what? $6 million, bang, Terrell Edmonds, that's yours. We knock it out. And then another $15 million for Minkah. You've paid roughly $21 million a year to make sure your safety position is locked down. You still have Trey Norwood you can develop over the next 3 years. And then at the end of Terrell Edmonds' contract, and you could see where things are with Trey Norwood, because that would end like close to the same time. You can give yourselves a lot of outs in developing and building this defense, because then if you have the safety position locked down, you don't have to worry about drafting that over the next 3-4 years. You can worry about, you know, replenishing the cornerback position, replenishing the defensive line, backing up the defensive line, maybe getting another edge rusher, another linebacker, all those different things, and as well as building the offensive line again. All those things can happen if you're paying these guys the right amount of money. And again, they're youth together. These guys are young, 25 and 24 years old, talking about being a safety duo. Part of what made the Steelers defense so special in the late 2000s going into the early 2010s was Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark had chemistry. And part of that chemistry was that Ryan Clark just trusted Troy to just do whatever the heck he wanted to do. And Ryan Clark just had to keep the rest of the defense together. Minkah Fitzpatrick talks about how it's very much different, but he talks about how Terrell Edmonds does all these things underneath that allow him to stay back and handle a lot of the deep responsibilities. And that was something that Terrell Edmonds had to try to do both when he first was with the Steelers at the same time, and it didn't work out for him. But now that they have their specific roles, it's allowing them to play more together. Now, some people might say, oh, well, that's not gonna stuff the run. Listen, I know, but here's the thing. If the Steelers can get healthy in the coming years with their defensive linemen, if they can make a couple more investments to make sure that they get some depth and security up front, and that run defense turns itself around from not being the second worst as they are this year to being one of the better groups in football again, then those guys in your secondary, those safeties, they're going to become more valuable, because now you're going to put teams into more predictable situations, and then they'll be able to make some more plays. That's why I'm advocating Chris Carter right here in the Locked On Steelers podcast that the Steelers do need to make sure that those guys are paid. Because at the end of this season, however it ends, playoffs, no playoffs, those two guys are important pieces to your locker room moving forward, and you better keep both of them. Because if you don't, you're going to be looking around for more vets and more leaders, and that's going to be another question that you want to avoid. Mike Tomlin talks about the importance of growing guys in-house. Minkah Fitzpatrick started out of house, but he's grown a lot since he's been in Pittsburgh. And Terrell Evans, he's grown a lot since he was drafted by Pittsburgh. Keep both of them. It'll benefit the defense in the long term. But in the short term, we got to look at some playoff scenarios. We'll do that in just a second here, right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, I got to tell you guys about Boost Mobile. You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to all the latest episodes. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can harness all that brain power too. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile to find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. That's Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details. We're also brought to you by On Location. Super Bowl 56 at SoFi is less than 100 days away. And On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from the elite experiences featuring an exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit OnLocationExp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location. Again, that's OnLocationExp.com/SB56 or search Super Bowl On Location. And when you do double ad reads, we keep it rolling here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's look at some playoff scenarios. Now, of course, with the Steelers win over the Tennessee Titans, they are now 7-6-1 currently. After the games, there's still, of course, Tuesday games to be played, but those are all NFC. The Steelers don't have to worry about them. The Steelers sit at the 9th seed in the NFC and AFC playoff race. That's just 2 positions out of being in the playoff race. The crazy part is they are half a game from being in first place in their division, or first place, or also fourth place for the fourth seed in the AFC. They also a half game out of both 5th, 6th, and 7th place to be one of the wild card bids. So all that sounds confusing. You're going to say, well, wait a second, Chris, what do you mean? So who should we root for in the final games? I'm going to help you understand that right here. The bottom line, when you look at the Steelers in the standings right now and you see the teams above them, there's 5 teams above them. The Cincinnati Bengals, who currently are the AFC North leaders at 8-6. All the teams are 8-6 that you're really looking up at here, because they're all a half game away. Cincinnati at 8-6. Colts, the Chargers, the Bills, and the Ravens. Now, if the playoffs were to start today, the Bengals would host as the 4 seed as AFC North winners. The Colts, the Chargers, and the Bills would be your wild card teams. The Baltimore Ravens would be just outside of the playoffs. That's part of the scenarios here. You're looking at, what might become an interesting, or what's definitely going to be an interesting race here. But when I look at the Steelers 7-6-1 record, you got to remember, it doesn't matter if they beat the Bills. It doesn't matter if they got swept by the Bengals, because all tiebreakers are out because of that tie. Because unless all these other teams tie in some games in some way in these final 3 weeks, that the Steelers cannot have the same record as any of these teams when the season ends. So that being said, it's all about the Steelers making sure that they at least win one more game than these other 3 teams. They're right in the thick of it with them. So in this way, it's kind of a race to the end here to win games. And again, that's 5 teams. By my looking at this here, what you need to do is between these 5 teams, again, the Chargers, the Bills, the Colts, the Ravens, and the Bengals, you need those 5 teams, two of them to lose 2 out of those 3 games, unless the Steelers win out. If they win out, that's a whole other ball game. But we're going to presume the Steelers at least lose one game. Even if they beat the Chiefs, with the Steelers, sometimes they'll win a big game, they'll lose a game that you feel like, oh, they should have won. So we're going to calculate for if the Steelers win 2 out of 3, which teams could lose those two out of three, and the Steelers jump them in the standings to either win the division or get in the wild card spot. Now, here's the tricky thing about this, is that of those 2 teams, the 2 seeds that happen, if the 2 teams that do it are indeed the Ravens and the Bengals, the Steelers, presuming that they win 2 out of 3 in their final 3 games, they would be the AFC North champions. They host a playoff game in the first round. That's lovely. Everything gets going and you have no problems. Now, before we get to the wildcard teams, let's look at who everybody's playing. Because, and by the way, if you're wondering about the Browns, well, because they lost their game, they're 7-7-1. So they're a half game behind the Steelers now. So now it really is just about the Steelers making sure they handle their business and not having to watch them as much. But let's look at all the AFC North teams. The Bengals in their final three games play the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Browns. Next week, I know that a lot of people think, well, wait a minute, shouldn't you want the Ravens to lose? No, you need the Ravens to win next week when they play take on the Bengals, because the Bengals are a team that has beaten the Steelers twice. They're not playing any other. Again, it doesn't matter if they swept them. It just matters that the Steelers can't impact their record anymore. They can't play them and get a game up on them. You can impact Baltimore. So you need them to lose that game. And then you hope they lose to Kansas City. And then at that point, you have the chance to then leapfrog them with just two wins in your final three games. And their final game, of course, the Bengals, is against the Browns. Long story short, if the Steelers handle their business and win two out of three, it doesn't really matter. And the Bengals have lost both of those games to the Ravens and the Chiefs. It doesn't matter about that game. It just matters, can the Steelers finish their deal? But say the Bengals, go 1-1 in those first two games. You might end up be rooting for the Browns in week 18 to get that, to give the Bengals their second loss, to give the Steelers a shot to win the division. Now, I say the Bengals because I look at them as the team that's probably going to be the team the Steelers have to watch the most. The Ravens are playing the Bengals, the Rams, and then, of course, the Steelers in the season finale. The Steelers, those are two games that I think that the Ravens are going to have a hard time matching up with. The Ravens almost took the Packers with Tyler Huntley and their backup quarterback situation and all the crazy injuries that they're going through. But I just think eventually this Ravens team is going to run out of gas. They're going to struggle with certain teams. And I think the Bengals, they're showing to be the inconsistent team I thought they would be down the stretch. But this is a game that the Bengals desperately need. They have a more complete roster. They're not as befuddled with injuries. This is a game that the Bengals should win, which is why I think that this could come down to the Steelers looking at the Browns and hoping that they could beat the Bengals in week 18. But with the Ravens' final three games, the Rams, I'm recording this before the Rams play the Seahawks, but the Rams look like they may have been able to figure things out, kind of recover a little bit there, and they'll be able to play well. So you're looking at potentially the Ravens losing their first two games to before they even play the Steelers, essentially making their presence in the playoffs null and void. Now, if they win one of those games, you want Cincinnati to lose that week, it still comes down to if the Rams win, all the Steelers got to do is beat the Ravens, and then they'll leapfrog them. That's the controlling part here. Now, for the Browns, they play the Packers on Saturday. Crazy situation because they were able to push their game back against the Raiders and it still lost. Now, you didn't get the benefit of winning this week, and then you lost time to prepare for the Packers, a team that's probably going to be playing much better than the Browns, and we'll see how that plays out. But the Browns finish with the Packers, the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and then Cincinnati. That's not no easy task. Those are all three games that the Browns should not be favored in with the way that they've been playing. So that's just the AFC North right there. Again, all you need is the Bengals and the Ravens to lose two games while the Steelers win two games. Just the Steelers just finish with more wins in these final three games, and those happen. So that's the situation for the AFC North. If you want the Steelers to make the wild card, if you think that they have a shot to make the wild card, you can look at a combination of either of the AFC North teams or the combination of the three teams that also sit in the wild card. The Chargers, currently, they're a team that they're probably going to win at least two of their games, so they might be out of here. They're playing the Texans this upcoming week. They're playing the Broncos the week after that, and then the Raiders the week after that. Those are all three games the Chargers should be favored in, any given Sunday, but I wouldn't bank on that one. The Bills presents a little bit of something interesting here because the Bills have been very up and down. They haven't been consistent. The Jets, they play the Patriots this week. Huge game. They need to win that game. You saw the Patriots beat them by only throwing three passes the other week. The Steelers should be rooting for the Patriots. Steelers fans, you should be rooting for the Patriots this week to give the Bills one more loss. And then it comes down to, do they slip up against the Falcons or the Jets? That could be a way for the Steelers to leapfrog the Bills. Then again, for the Colts, this is the team that I think of the wild card teams that has the most likely chance to lose two of their last three games. They play the Cardinals this upcoming week, and I know the Cardinals just had the stinker against the Lions, but that's still a team that the Colts, they're not a consistent team. The Cardinals need to get back to being a consistent team. We'll see if they are, but they play the Cardinals, they play the Raiders, and then they play the Jaguars. I can see the Colts having a weird, odd game, and one of those last two teams catching them, in a weird way. So again, this comes down to if any of those five teams I just mentioned—the Chargers, the Bills, the Colts, the Bengals, or the Ravens—you just need two of those teams to lose two of their next three games, and the Steelers to make sure that they win two of their next three games, and they're in the playoffs. I know I just went through a lot of teams and a lot of names. But that's what it boils down to. It's just the Steelers win two of these teams lose two of their games, and they're in. Again, if the Steelers win out, changes everything, and all that needs to happen now is for of those five teams, for just two of them to lose one game, and the Steelers are in, which it's going to happen. So you look at that situation. The Steelers do have a path here, but it requires them winning down the stretch here, especially winning those AFC North games, because they do not want to let the Browns start to catch up with them. They need to beat the Browns. And if they beat the Ravens, they're one of the teams that put the Ravens back down. And that pushes the Ravens into a tougher situation, because they would have to win the other two games while losing to the Steelers to still have a chance to stay ahead of them. But That's a whole other story. That's my breakdown of how the playoff scenarios are right now. Steelers, essentially this week, you're rooting for the Texans. You're rooting the Texans to beat the Chargers, the Patriots to beat the Bills, the Cardinals to beat the Colts, the Ravens to beat the Bengals, and the Packers to beat the Browns. And then, of course, the Steelers to beat the Chiefs. So, we'll be keeping you up to date and, debate about, playoff scenarios and where things can go. But the Steelers do have a legitimate path to the playoff. I said this a week ago. I said this 2 weeks ago when Steelers fans were thinking the sky was falling. There's no chance they'll make the playoffs. I'm not saying it's likely, because there's a lot of different things that got to fall into place for you. But there is a path here, a real path. And I do think that some of these teams can falter. If the Steelers can just capitalize in these final 3 weeks, they've got a good shot. How do they capitalize, though? Well, we'll get to just that in a minute here, because they're facing some very tight games even if the Steelers come to play. So we'll talk about that in just a second here. But first, I got to talk about BetOnline. BetOnline is our great sponsor, where they have you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoff. BetOnline.ag remains your number one spot for all the sports in action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. And just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, all capital letters, all one word, to receive your welcome bonus. From basketball to football to NHL to boxing to UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter, your host. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques, as you see below. Thank you again for checking us out. Again, we're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and of course YouTube. But I want us to take a step back and look at these realistic situations. Now, I think it's remarkable when you look at where the Steelers are statistically with a lot of different scenarios right now, and you see how they're right in the thick of this playoff race, despite having the second worst rushing defense in the NFL, the second worst rushing offense in the NFL. They're losing the trenches on both sides of the ball. They do rank higher in pass defense than the upper tier there, but they're in the bottom half of the league when it comes to total yards defense. They're in the bottom half of the league when it comes to total yards and offense. Bottom half of the league in both when it comes to scoring points and allowing points. So how the heck are they right in the thick of this playoff race right now? The answer, situational play, being able to come through in the toughest moments, and the way they've been able to coalesce. And this is, again, goes back to organizational integrity. When I talk about this a lot, I use that phrase a lot because it is real. Teams like the Steelers, the Patriots, the Ravens, the Packers, these organizations that consistently find ways to put together together teams and say, hey, we're going to achieve this. We're going to achieve this. We know we're going to struggle here, but we're going to make up for it with this. Those teams, those organizations usually find ways to make something out of nothing in those situations. And look at what the Steelers have been this year. All their wins have been close. All their wins have been hard fought, drug out, and everyone looks back and says, "Whoa, how did they do that?" That's a really good question. But the big thing is that when you look at it, guys stepping up to carry the team when they need to. T.J. Watt, you see him. Cam Hayward, you see him. Minkah Fitzpatrick stepping in. Ben Roethlisberger making big plays when need to. Pat Freiermuth coming in big. Najee Harris is coming big. You see those guys masking the weaknesses, and that has been the depth of the defensive line, especially in those, especially, you know, since Tyson Alulu has went down. That is also the offensive line, which has just been putrid this year and has had a really rough year. They started to, you know, go on an incline going into the middle part of the year, and then ever since, I'd say like week 10 or something like that, they have just tanked, and now you're seeing them struggle even more. So this is a team that has the potential on it to carry themselves through it, but they also have the potential to fall apart. But that's a reason why I always talk about Mike Tomlin and his coaching. You know, people want to see, oh, I want to see an X and O. I want to see him cussing out a player on the sideline. That's not what coach is all about. Coaching is trying to say, hey, let's try to make sure that we're going to be competitive each season and go out there and fight and give yourself a chance each week with the plays that are called on the field. And the Steelers, they have those plays more times than not. That's why they haven't had a losing season. And think about it this way. The Steelers are one win away from Mike Tomlin securing a 16th consecutive non-losing season in the NFL. I don't think that's ever been done before. Maybe Curly Lambeau, the guy that Lambeau Field is named after, is the last person who might have done something like that. I know some people are like, well, that's not the objective. The objective is to win a Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, but he also has won a Super Bowl. And their only active coach with more Super Bowls is Bill Belichick, who is considered to be the greatest coach of all time. So if your standard is he's not Bill Belichick, you're crazy. But my thing here is when you look at what the Steelers are doing and where they've been able to build, they've been able to find ways to win by any means necessary. It's been so crazy how they've found it. Whether it's a block punt against Buffalo, whether it's creating three straight fourth quarter turnovers against the Titans this past week. And three of their wins have come against AFC playoff opponents. The Ravens, the Bills, and the Titans. Well, the Ravens are actually out of it, so they wouldn't count as right now. They wouldn't count as a playoff team. But again, you look at their win over the Bills. You look at their win over the Titans. They can compete with these teams, and I'm very intrigued to see how they compete with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have not had a consistent offense this year. Patrick Mahomes has looked a lot more mortal this year. You know, he's looked like, you know, when Ivan Drago starts to bleed, he's like, he's bleeding. He's human. That's the kind of feeling you're getting from Patrick Mahomes there. But then you see their defense coming up. This upcoming week, for me, the biggest thing is, can the offense be able to put up points when the opportunity arises? I think the defense, they could compete in this game. Why? Because the Chiefs' offensive line is still developing. They got some young guys on it. They're still putting things together. Their run game isn't all that either. So if the Steelers can contain that run game, maybe make some plays and capitalize on maybe some mistakes. Travis Kelce went on the COVID list this week, you know, just on Monday. Doesn't mean he's out for the game, but there could be some questions as far as chemistry there. If they're able to disrupt Patrick Mahomes, keep that passing game to be so-so and not explosive like it was the last 2 years before this year, maybe the Steelers offense does just enough to get you over the hump. One thing to remember, Ben Roethlisberger is lifetime 7-2 against the Chiefs. Granted, it's 0-1 against Patrick Mahomes, but you look at the way that this team has played, they've found ways to win ugly. This could be another, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they do this. Now, again, the trenches are a real problem. When the Steelers do lose this year, when they are either knocked out of the playoffs or kept out of the playoffs, it will most likely come down to the reasons their trenches just weren't good enough on either side of the ball. You can win with one side of the trenches being like questionable so-so, but you can't win all the time with both sides being so-so. And you look at the defense. They would have been fine had they had their guys healthy. That hasn't happened. They haven't been able to, they've been able to compensate with it with a lot of pass rushing, with coverage, with guys coming to help, with limiting and saying, hey, okay, you can run the ball here. You might get 5 or 6 yards there, but we're not letting you break away for the 22, 24, 30, 40, 50 yard runs that just break the defense in half. And some weeks it's happened. Dalvin Cook gave them the business. They're allowing 100 yard rushers, but they're saying, hey, at the end of the day, you're still going to have to throw to beat us at some point. And that's where the Steelers, I think, have held on and been able to stay competitive. And when they force those throwing plays, the Steelers have, for the most part, been able to say, hey, we're going to be in the area and compete for the pass, or we're going to get after your quarterback and make him squirm, get a sack, change the momentum of the game. The Steelers have the tools to push down here and fight with these other teams. Because one thing you look around, I know some people see the Steelers, oh, look at the Steelers roster. If you're a Steelers fan, you're like, oh, how woe is us. How in the world can they compete with these other teams? You look at some of these other teams and you see how they're struggling. And you're thinking, okay, their fans, they're also a bit uneasy as well. Now, again, I think the Chiefs are a different story. I think their defense is playing well. And if Patrick Mahomes could turn it on, they could become the best NFL team. But they haven't been consistent this year. If they're not consistent when the Steelers take them on this week, that might give the Steelers the chance to surprise them, surprise everybody, get a win, and then go into the final 2 weeks of the season saying, hey, we actually control our own destiny, which I think they will if they win this week, because there's going to be enough teams that they can beat that might lose this week that'll put the Steelers in position to say, hey, if we just win our last two games, we're in the playoffs. And that still might happen even if they lose to the Chiefs. But again, we just went over all the playoff scenarios. That could be a stretch. The bottom line for me, they have to be able to win with other ways. They need to be able to find some way to move the ball on offense, but you know this offensive line ain't going to put it together in the final weeks. They might be able to hold together with scotch tape and kind of say, like, hey, you know what? We'll protect Ben Roethlisberger a little bit better, but they're not going to be bullying people to open up rushing lanes. The Steelers need to go in with game plans to allow Ben Roethlisberger to attack the middle part of the field, the different parts of the field. Let's say, hey, trust your instincts, trust your gut. We're going to ride with you, Ben, all the way to the end. The same thing goes with the defense. Lean on your strengths, because the strength on the Steelers' offense is the fact that they still have playmakers. You still have Deontay Johnson. You still have Pat Freiermuth. You still have Najee Harris. You still have Chase Claypool, who dropped another one this weekend that he absolutely should have caught. But you have the talents there. If you get them the ball, they're dangerous. They can make up for the other weaknesses in the offense. The same thing goes with the defense. You may be lacking up front with guys around Cam Hayward that can stuff the run and make things easier there. But you got playmakers. You got T.J. Watt. Devin Bush is starting to show up. He's looking pretty good. He's looking good this last game. You look at Minkah Fitzpatrick. You look at Terrell Edmonds. They're playing well back there. Joe Hayden being back. You saw the energy that he brought out there. Cam Sutton being a solid corner. You have playmakers. The Steelers just have to use them enough to be able to say, hey, we can neutralize our disadvantages in the trenches by winning out here and winning situational football. It's very doable, but we'll see if the Steelers can do it and pull it out yet again. Because again, the Steelers, In my time, covering the Steelers, in my time watching this, before I was growing up in Pittsburgh, the last time that they were out of it going into the final weeks of the season was 2003 when they had Tommy Maddox at quarterback. That's how long it's been since the Steelers have been out of the playoff picture. That's why they're still in it, and you see they're in it now. The reason is they believed in their coaches, they believed in their team, they believed in their way to be able to fight through it, and the players have bought into this. I think the Steelers will see which guys are buying into what moving forward, and that might even give you a bit of an inkling as far as who the coaches want to make sure they're bringing with them in the coming years to make sure to say, hey, you know what? I want these guys because they ride or die with us in 2021. We want them to ride or die with us for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. That's all we have for you today on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Chris Carter, your host. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Remember to subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of our great content. Thanks so much for checking us out. And remember, if you give us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts, we get a shout out at the end of the show, just like this person who says Rec Raps gave us a 5-star review. Says, great podcast, goes through each part of the week in depth, but doesn't let fan base bias affect the content. Has a very genuine podcast and is a great time to listen to. Highly recommend it to all. Steelers fans, as well as football fans in general. Thank you, Rec Raps. We appreciate you for giving us your five-star review. If you want your shout-out, please leave us on Apple Podcasts and leave a five-star review with a positive comment. We'll get you a shout-out at the end of the show. Thanks again. We're going to be back with more here on Wednesday after finally Week 15 ends, and we can officially turn the page into Week 16 for your Pittsburgh Steelers.